Salutare! Welcome to episode 2 of the Dungeon Diaries. I am your hostess, Queen Titania, and today I'll be reviewing Montreal Fetish Weekend 2012. If you would like a review of that weekend, well, I can sum it up in a few words. It was great. You should go next year if you've never been. Would you like a little bit more detail? Would you like to know more? Well, let me tell you a little more. In the past, it seemed like my trips to Montreal were cursed. In 2009, I fell incredibly ill and spent most of my first night in the hotel room, having to skip the party. The second year, I wrecked my car. The third year was actually great. 2011 was a wonderful party. The worst thing that happened was we got lost, and everything else was just swell. This year, though, it seemed like that curse was back on. I went with Mistress Syndicate and had to pick her up from Boston. Syndicate lives in a part of Boston that's a bit difficult to get to from the highway without going through a lot of traffic, and then going through a lot of traffic to get back to the highway. So that led to a bit of a delay, as did the traffic on the highway, all the way up to New Hampshire. It was smooth sailing after that, and when I asked her what directions she had, she told me we were going up 91. Normally, I go up 89, and if you're coming from New England, I highly recommend going to Montreal via 89. The wait at the border is usually shorter, they seem to be a little more lax and seem to inspect fewer cars, and overall, I think it's an easier drive, but 93 to 91 is beautiful. It goes through a gorgeous state park, and I had no complaints. At least until we got to the border, and we were told to pull over and to come in so that they could inspect the car. They told us if we wanted, we could wait in front of the car and watch as they inspected it, but we couldn't go anywhere near behind them. Of course, Syndicate decided that that didn't mean she had to get in front of the car completely, and was yelled at in an alluring Quebecois accent. So alluring that she started to jokingly flirt with the guy. Well, there were two of them. One of them was a very handsome middle-aged border guard with quite the accent. The other one, I don't really remember too much about him. We were concentrating on the first guy. But they basically went through my car, and you can only imagine what they found. I mean, a dominatrix and her fetish model friend going to Montreal Fetish Weekend? There was latex, there was lingerie, there were blindfolds, there was lube, there were boots and shoes, there was some chain. You can only imagine, I bet. And I don't think they could imagine, because we were told that we were the most unusual car they had ever seen. They told us they'd never heard of Montreal Fetish Weekend, and had some very amusing questions about the contents of my vehicle. Namely, what's this sign? That took me for a start. They held up a cardboard sign, and I quickly realized that it was what my partner, Princess Madeira, had written during one of her sessions. It basically read, "Gangsters use tubing like this to torture people in the 30s. She was using a piece of tubing as a corporal punishment instrument, and I guess remembered that gangsters used it to torture people. And unfortunately, it ended up in the trunk of my car when some border guards were inspecting it. Awkward." They then asked me, "What are these?" And one of them held up a handful of pills. That would be nightmare-inducing, except for the fact that I don't do drugs, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do anything fun. Well, except for beating boys and doing all sorts of kinky, sexy, naughty things. But in terms of substances, I don't do anything fun. So I quickly remembered that either some Tylenol PM or some vitamin C tablets had fallen out of their container and ended up in the bag, and I was just too lazy to clean them up. So I told them that. I later found out I wasn't telling the truth. It wasn't vitamin C. It was calcium. Hopefully calcium isn't illegal in Canada. I don't think it is, because he left half of the tablets in there anyway. So they kept going through there, and they kept commenting, how unusual this car was, as Cindy kept, you know, flirting with the guy, telling him, oh, you should come up to Montreal with us. They'd love you in Montreal. And I made sure to chime in with, yeah, they love a man in uniform. He blushingly replied that he was a more conservative type, and he didn't think he'd fit in at such a party. That was amusing, because, well, we fetishists love a man in uniform, and I saw a lot of uniforms that weekend. After a few more questions, he finally said, well, we'll let you go inside, but we have one more question. And he pulled out a bottle of F-21. If you don't know what F-21 is, it's a big green spray bottle. It's supposed to be used to clean your car. The inside, I think the tires as well. I don't really know, because I don't use it for my car. I use it to clean latex. You can use it to clean, to shine. It's very nice on latex. It's much cheaper than lube. And while I always use lube for sessions, because I don't want a slave looking up car cleaner. That would probably be unhealthy. For sessions, I make sure I lube my latex with Eros Pure Body Glide. Because, well, it's the best, and my latex deserves the best. But you can only imagine my amusement as they hold up this bottle, because in that bag are tons of latex. Just three outfits, all of them full of rubber, one of them being a Batgirl catsuit with a cape, one of them being a gown, and the other being a leotard with some very cute dragon scale detailing. I mean, it all looks very weird. There's chain, there's Cindy's lingerie, there's boots, there's all of these things, and they hold up F-21? Well, Cindy immediately goes, well, it's used to clean the car. And I go, Cindy, I think they know we're not using it for that. And told them, you see all that rubber in there? It's used to shine that up. We use it to polish it. They laughed, put it back, gave us our passports, and we headed out. We headed out, and we were staying this week at the Hotel Lord Barrie. If you've never been to Montreal Fetish Weekend, the Lord Barrie is a very nice little hotel. And there's a group rate for $90 a night. Originally, I was going to stay there with two or three friends, but those plans got derailed, and we ended up staying with Lydia Lael of Vengeance Designs. Well, her and three other people. The first night, we crammed six people in one room, and I would have it no other way. I think I slept better in a bed with Cindy Cat and Lydia than I have in years. Unfortunately, we all had to get up early, but the few hours of sleep I got were great. Everyone else in there was great. Bonda Feeling was wonderful. Dinah DeVille was wonderful. Uri was wonderful. Everyone in the other room. She ended up having to get two rooms. For most of the weekend, we had five people to a room. It was amazing. I mean, it's so much more fun when you just have a bunch of crazy, kinky people just chatting it up all weekend, doing stupid stuff. I wish I could sum it up in a few stories, but you just have to imagine Lydia and I sniping back and forth at each other with sarcastic remarks, slapping each other's tits, pinching butts, and doing all sorts of stupid stuff, along with everyone else in the room. And Ms. Fonda Feeling, you do one hell of a Sarah Palin impersonation. So that was the room situation. You can only imagine how much latex was in there, because Lydia's a latex designer, she had a fashion show, and two performances there. That's a lot of stuff. She was also vending, which meant outfits for sale. It was insanity, and it was perfect. So we always get up on Thursday night. That way, Friday is a day to basically get ready, see some of the city, and be ready when the fashion shows roll around that night. Luckily, this year I wasn't doing the fashion show, so I can enjoy myself a bit more. But everyone else had to work. And work they did. You see, Usually in Montreal, the fashion shows are low stress. You go there, you do a quick walkthrough, you're done. But every year, the fashion show coordinator gets more and more strict. It's plain ridiculous this year. Because these are fetish models doing fetish fashion. The fetish fashion designers want their clothes modeled a certain way. And Lydia wanted a lot of aggressive posturing. Very vicious. I mean, her line is Vengeance Designs. She wanted some theatrics in her show. And the coordinator comes out and says, "No, no, 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 we want high fashion." "But you don't have high fashion models. What are you thinking?" Of course, I mean, he's only means well, but it's a little annoying when you're telling models who aren't trained for something to do that, and it's something that you don't want them to do. So pretty much everyone wanted to rip his head off, because he was very stubborn. Of course, well, not everyone. Donna Matrix is so adorable, and they want their stuff done high fashion, so they were totally cool with it. And more power to them. It stands out. So many people are doing fetish fashion, they're doing rubber high fashion. And, hey, you've got to do your own thing. That's why I bought an outfit from her this year, because she's unique. So, that was a little bit of an annoyance, but everything went off without a hitch, and one thing I love about Montreal is they're always trying to improve. If you go there and you don't have a good time, if enough people complain about it, they'll try to fix it. Case in point, the fashion shows have always been on a high stage. When the photos come in, they never look about right. You have these models towering over you, and you never get good angles. So they decided to fix it this year. They put the fashion show on the floor. Anywhere else, this would be a recipe for disaster. At the New York Rubber Ball, where I competed in Miss Rubber World, they had the fashion show on the floor, but since everyone was standing, no one could see the fashion shows. This annoyed some of the designers. Here, the first couple rows around the fashion show are all tables, so the people are sitting down. There's a few people filling in and standing, but for the most part, everyone on the floor that's on the same level as the fashion show is sitting. So the people behind them are standing, then there's risers where more people are standing. So you can actually see the fashion shows. And they're not on a ridiculous level. Great idea that, in theory, seemed terrible. So, huzzah, Montreal Fetish Weekend. They also did a great job in doing so, because it helped differentiate the venue each night. One of the main problems with Montreal Fetish Weekend compared to, say, Fetish Factory, is Fetish Factory has three different venues. In the past, they've run a club, then a larger club with a pool and an outdoor area, and then the third night, they've run a strip club. And it gives a very different vibe. Each night feels different because it is different. In Montreal, the three main nights are all at the Olympia Ballroom, so they all feel the same. However, this year, you had the floor taken up by fashion shows the first night, then more play set up the second night, and the third night was steampunk. So, well, it felt different. It felt a little more interesting. And that's good. So I applaud them for that. On top of that, this year I think they made a very good choice in their performances. Two of the main performances were done by Lydia on Saturday, and she did something different. Usually I'm a little bored with fetish performances. They're a little too burlesque-y. They're a little too based on, "Oh, I'm so sexy, look at me in my latex," or a very light BDSM performance or demonstration. Or, when you're lucky, you see something fabulous and over-the-top, like Parrish or Rubber Doll, who go all out with the outfits and just obscene props. And I give, well, props to them. Lydia went for the Theater of the Absurd. Her first performance was in conjunction with Donna Matrix, and, well, featured a geisha performance that then turned into a demon taunting two geishas, a Japanese businessman played by Miss Cindy Cat coming out, who was then attacked by the demon geishas, and they tore his stomach out and blood spurted everywhere. Now that's something I want to see. I want to see two demon geishas covered in blood. I want to see a sexy faux fetish party like her second performance that I was lucky enough to participate in. Fortunately, by that point, I was a little bit exhausted. Why was I exhausted? Well, like I said, I got one of my outfits this year from Donna Matrix, and I asked her, would you like me to model for you this year? And she said, sure. Unfortunately, our fashion show's already full, but you could do the grand entrance in Lube Station. Lube Station, you say? Basically, her idea was, she was going to have some of her models enter down the red carpet as a group, with photographers all taking photos, and then take over the Lube Station. This year, I don't know if this was done in the past, but this year, Montreal Fetish Weekend decided to have a station in front of the club where you could get lubed up. The Olympia Ballroom is on St. Catherine's, which during the summer is shut down to traffic and is a pedestrian street, so you can have these setups that spill out onto the street, and this had a porch with the lube station out on the street, so you had all of these gawking vanilla people, just people in town or tourists, looking at all of the crazy fetishists as they're getting lubed up. And herself, her husband Ben, and the models were going to lube everyone. So we make the entrance, all of us in our outfits, me in a gorgeous purple leotard with the dragon scale detailing that I described. You have to see it. I'll post some photos. And we had our photos taken by the photographers. Looked fabulous. Relieved the former lubers of their duty. And Ben whispers to me, I think what you should do is go around and basically harass people to get lubed up. Ben hasn't known me that long, but Ben knows me really well. Because I was born to be a carny. I was born to be a carnival barker, to go around and yell at the marks, to come and pay two bits a gander to see the bearded lady. I was born in the wrong century, I think. I should have been born in, like, the 1800s, going from town to town or something like that, with P.T. Barnum. Alas, I was born now, and I'm a dominatrix, so I make it work. Anyway, I said, that sounds wonderful, and started going up to people. If I saw someone in a military uniform, I'd say, Officer, don't you want to look striking for your service? To show your men that you're a fighting military man? You should go to the lube station and have people rub lube all over you. Go up to women, men, fat people, skinny people, sexy people, not-so-sexy people, and tell them all the same thing. I mean, ma'am, how can you resist being lubed up by not one, but two Miss Rubber World winners? In fact, one of them is a Mrs. Rubber World. I mean, can you really say that you passed up on the chance to be lubed up by two winners of the Miss Rubber World pageant? Or if someone didn't look like they were lubed up, I'd go, how could you come to Montreal Fetish Weekend looking like that? I mean, your latex isn't even lubed yet. You have to be all shiny. Don't you want to be shiny? Of course you want to be shiny. Why don't you get in line for the lube station? Most people were very enthusiastic. Some, however, weren't. Maybe they just don't want to be harassed by someone in latex talking to them, telling them they should go get lubed up. I guess they see it as a burden to have beautiful women lubing them, rubbing lube all over their bodies, caressing them, making them all shiny and sexy. Some people, I guess that's not a good time. Different strokes for different folks, I suppose. But that was so much fun. But it also involved walking around on cement for half an hour. Or even longer. I think we were out there for 45 minutes. Because By the time I looked at a clock, it was almost 1 o'clock, and I had to go do a quick change for Lydia's performance. Another wonderful thing about this weekend is Lydia had several personal slaves there to cater to us. There had been a miscommunication, and I hadn't brought my outfit that Lydia had made me. I told her I was going to wear my dawn outfit. She thought I was going to change. So what did we do? We sent a slave back to the hotel to get it. He did a damn good job. I changed, did her performance, tried to do my best, but like I said, I was a little tired, so I think I was the weak link. Luckily, it was an 8-person chain, so we did okay, and it was a sexy, sensual, sinful performance. But other than that, I mean, it was a wonderful, wonderful event. There were 2 photo booths set up this year so that people could get their photos taken. The photographers were wonderful. The people were wonderful. I got to have a lot of fun with my friends. The club looked great. Eric, who runs Montreal Fetish Weekend, is wonderful as usual and treats the models and everyone else very well. There's always plenty of Red Bull and water, which everyone needs in an event like this, backstage. And this year, he sorted out all the security issues. Last year, security was kind of being a bother, showing off, I don't know, their imaginary dicks, showing what big people they are, and trying to order us around. This year, we had the run of the place. It was wonderful. We could just go downstairs, get ready. Everything was great. So again, big thumbs up to that. There was a problem last year, and they fixed it. And that's like the one best thing about Montreal. I think the after-play parties get better and better every year. The hotel situation gets a little better every time they get a chance to fix it. The fetish walk, where everyone who wants to goes through town in their finest fetish fashion and sees the sights of Montreal, has gotten more popular each year. Everything is more fun. And like I said, this is not an expensive trip. Fetish Factory is a great trip, but you're going to spend probably $1,000 on it. Which again, that's not an expensive vacation. But for people who are going to buy their clothing so that they can look great, maybe go shopping there, it's going to be even more expensive than that in reality. Montreal, you can do it for $250 if you're from New England or you're willing to drive up a little further. Of course, no one's going to split a hotel 6 ways like we ended up having to do due to complications, but if you split a hotel 4 ways, it's going to be about $100 for the weekend. If you drive up, your gas split is going to be like $75. If you model, you don't even have to have that VIP pass paid for. But it's a reasonable VIP pass. I think it's like $125. And for that, you get into the VIP parties, you get into the VIP lounges, you get into all the parties. It's wonderful. I mean, the food is great. The food might be what you spend the most on this weekend. Because, I mean, maybe most people won't venture out as much as I do, but my friends love to eat. Every year, Jade Vixen has everyone out to a great steakhouse, and that's a little bit pricey. We go to her favorite little upscale diner where you can get amazing breakfast and everything else. We go to Cora's every morning if we can, which has so much wonderful fruit with their breakfasts. There's wonderful places all along St. Catharines, little bistros on St. Denis, a wonderful vegan Thai restaurant called Chuchai. There's so much great shopping, so many great things to see. I mean, you can go there just to see Montreal and then go to the parties as an afterthought. If you don't have fun at the parties, you'll have fun in the city. If you don't have fun sightseeing, you'll have fun at the parties. It's win-win. I cannot recommend Montreal Fetish Weekend enough. You'll have a blast. I always do. There's always something to see. There's always something crazy going on. Whether it's a guy splitting his latex gi because he decided to do a high kick while being photographed. Whether it's a wonderful performance like Lydia. Whether it's something going on at the play party. Whether it's having 50 gawking vanilla people looking at you as you're posing on the red carpet. Or whether it's some of the debauchery that goes on backstage. People posing topless, slapping titties, and doing all sorts of naughty things with their friends. It's wonderful. You'll see amazing things going on at the parties. There's PlayStations, latex beds, suspension, bondage tables, spanking benches, everything you could want. And it's gotten better each year. Last year, I didn't think there was enough play. The year before, there was a dungeon, but it was hidden away. This year, it was all out in front of you. It was spread through the dance floor. The music was better this year. I mean, I can't say enough good things. If you haven't been, and you're not in Florida where you can go to the Fetish Factory parties, you're not in San Francisco when there's wonderful things like Folsom, you're not from Europe where there's obviously amazing parties all the time, like Fetish Evolution, you should go to Montreal Fetish Weekend. You will have a great time. I've always enjoyed just the city, the people. I mean, the people of Montreal are so lovely. Everything about it is lovely, and you should go. I'm not sure I have anything else to say. I would love to share more fun tales, but, I mean, they're all kind of personal. I don't know what you would get out of me saying how great it is to spend time with someone like LJ. LJ's amazing, but, like, it's not a sexy story. It's just spending time with someone fun. You'll meet fun people. You'll hang out with fun people. It's almost impossible not to. So, really, you should go, whoever you are, even if you've been 100 times. Even if you've told me you don't want to go again. Because, hey, I'll be there. So, I hope to see you next year. Sorry this episode probably wasn't as funny as the rest. But, well, I thought it'd be good to do a nice little review, because I love Montreal. So, until next time, ta-ta.